In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
About a month ago, Father Justin asked if I would offer a sermon on a Sunday of my choosing. I asked for October 26th because it is St. Demetrius feast day, and I lived in his and St. Gregory Palamas' city for 2 years. This day calls to mind my death of having received the truth of Orthodoxy through my time there, everything I have. A monk who once wrote me from Mount Athos, and when he heard that I and my children were born in the Salesian priest, and he wrote me and said, in Periatu means a levite. They are children of St. Demetrius. Don't be jealous. I would like to introduce my reflection on today's gospel by relating the story of two men, both of them in one person, myself. In 1983, I visited the Church of St. Demetrius with my mother. I was a Christian believer, but not yet in the fullness of Orthodoxy. I did not yet have that key which unlocks the fullness of Christ in his own. I took my camera out in the empty church, and I took a couple of photos. My mother, of Roman Catholic sentiment, said, maybe you should ask before you take photos. I, lacking any humility, said, why? Though deep down, I knew she was right, but I was being arrogant in doing so. When I developed the role of the camera, yes, young people, we did used to have to develop our pictures. Those two photos were completely blurred. Now fast forward 10 years. I visited again as an Orthodox priest in 1993. I was looking to venerate the saint that I had once overlooked. When I approached St. Demetrius' relics, there was words really failed to hear. A luminosity resting above him as he lay in his coffin. And that fragrance of myrrh that is so often where holiness is, through myrrh streaming relics and icons. Why do I say words betray? Because when God, by his mercy, draws the curtain back, it's not just our mind that records the events. Our whole person is taken into something other. Aia, in Greek, some people say, ye means world, Ios is the offer. Privative means something other than this world. What a difference in those two men, 10 years of life and fullness in Christ's church makes. Which is as St. Paul wrote, the church is the fullness of him who fills all things. And because we are today hearers of the divine scriptures, we too have the scriptures. The focus that I'd like to make are on the words, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. The rich man passing by Lazarus could have known his faithful judgment had he just heard and listened to the scriptures that were the thing that made the Jew the Jew. Having the oracles of God was what distinguished him from everyone else in the then known world. That comes with a responsibility, my brothers and sisters. We too today have the oracles of God. Throughout the Old Testament, there were words speaking to one's duty toward the poor, the orphan. God's commandment to love the orphan and the poor, to love even the stranger. His commandment to not pass by, as did the rich man, his own flesh which lay in need. By the way, it is a mystery. One of the more obscure passages telling us that we ought to show charity, a favorite line is, cast your bread upon the water, and it after many days will return to you. In other words, generosity is sown in places where seeds don't grow. Things don't grow in the water. And if you throw bread on the water, it's just a soggy loaf, is all in short order. But this is the mystery, that we're casting our seeds upon a place that we don't know exactly how God will bring about what comes from that. But we cast in faith because the Lord tells us to do this mysterious thing, to deprive ourselves of our own goods for the good of the others, and to trust that it will return to us in blessings. We have the scriptures in the fullness of the ancient tradition of understanding. The Church of the Holy Fathers, to hear, to read, to study, to bring to the very dividing of the bones and marrow of our souls, to have the scriptures, to be in possession of the Word of God, breathed by God, these words that convey eternal life to us reborn sinners, that make us more permanent than heaven and earth, bring us into eternity while living here. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The words that make us the relatives of God, that make us brothers and sisters of Christ Jesus. Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Who is my mother? Those who hear the word of God and keep it. More than that, why not say it? The words that make us little gods in the great God. The words that make us by grace what God is by nature. The holy words that have been entrusted to us. As Abraham said to the rich man, I say to you today, you have the scriptures, the word of the living God. Yes, the Lord said, I have sent your gods unto whom the word of God came. John 10:34. And that is the whole intent of the divine scriptures, the making of all things in this world divine, human. Not just divine, not just human, but a synergy, a cooperation, a joining together of heaven and earth while living in the shadow of the cross and taking up our own cross to follow Christ. When Christ took his apostles through the Old Testament and showed them, in the words of today's gospel, the meaning of Moses and all the prophets, he showed them the inner key to unlock the word of God. That it is all about him. He showed us what St. Vincent said. Scripture is not in just the reading, but in the understanding. Often our Lord would ask, what do the scriptures say? But more importantly, when he would ask, what do the scriptures say? He would ask the person, how do you read them? Because the scripture is not life-giving if we do not understand how to unlock it, how to read it. They must be read with our life. The Bible is not read with our eyes. The Bible is read with our life when we struggle to put into practice what the scriptures teach us, as was the failing of the rich man, who was distracted and taken up by the cares of this life while living in the midst of a community that was full of the oracles of God, the Word of God. You must have the real Christ to unlock the depths of the scriptures, my brother and sister. Not the Christ of the religious leaders of Christ's day, not Arius's Christ, not the Christ of the Jesus seminar in our own times, who every Christmas time try to reduce Christ's words to just a few phrases. as if the church knew a different Christ than we have always known. You have to have the Christ of the Nicene Creed to penetrate into the words of the Divine Scriptures. You have the Scriptures, brothers and sisters. Shouldn't we pause to explore both the responsibility and the privilege of having the oracles of God? In 1982, while Bartosz and I were living in Thessaloniki, Greece, we were invited to cross the Soviet Iron Curtain and to visit Yugoslavia, then under communist yoke. Our host, a Christian man, took me out into that region that was later to become a political hotspot between Albanians and Serbs during President Clinton's presidency. I found myself visiting a poor Albanian family, so poor that there was a girl who suffered a seizure and brain disability through a high fever that cooked her brain because they couldn't afford aspirin to reduce her fever. I was so humbled by their generosity. They brought everything that they had that could offer and put it out in front of this visiting person who was a stranger to them. And then, in the safety of that moment, trusting my friend with their loves, they proudly brought out in a little adorned box a paper with a few verses of the Gospel of John on it. That was what they had of the Word of God, and it was precious to them. They kept it in a little adorned box, knowing that the price would be their own arrest for carrying on these fables under the communist yoke. A little later in that visit, I was with a family and preaching the gospel and the resurrection, and the communist leader came to the family's house, and he began to tell them that I was a fox from the evil west that was trying to deceive them and lead them astray. The family told him summarily, "Get out of the house." I've always wondered what my little message meant subsequently for that family that had courageously denied the words of the party boss and instead welcomed a stranger and the Word of God that was being preached to them. A little later, you know, sometime later that year, I found myself in Istanbul with a very zealous Christian man, a Protestant, and he gathered 30 or 40 people kind of secretly into an apartment that harks to that image of them preaching, Paul preaching in Acts of the Apostles. And there gathered, I spoke to them for 2 hours. And when I concluded, they begged me and said, "Please don't stop talking. Please, we're so hungry to hear the explanation of the Word of God." We have the oracles of God. Not just a piece of the gospel in some box that we hold dear. Not just a gathering in a dangerous situation that could lead to our own persecution and fateful consequences. We have the Bible that often just sits on our desk without opening it, without reading it. And then when our judgment comes, what will we say about all of that community of orthodoxy and all the blessings that we have, all the keys to unlock all of the depths of the scriptures in our own hearts and souls. All of that which could make us, by the word of God, divine human, little gods in God. I was listening on my way up to the monastery to Presbyter Virginia search the scriptures on ancient faith radio, and she's currently doing a long series on the Bible and the importance of the Bible. And I really recommend that you listen to that. And the particular one that she was preaching on was how the fathers, what they presumed about the divine scriptures and what they informed us of. How today also we have not only the Bible, but we have the explanation of the Holy Fathers easily accessible, especially John Chrysostom on the internet. But in that, she was talking about how the whole Bible speaks in every word of the Bible. How in St. Justin Popovich's words, that every drop is a drop and an elixir of life that goes into our souls from the Holy Scriptures. And she was saying how John Chrysostom illustrated this by taking the most insignificant words of the Bible and then unfolding the mystery of those words. I won't go through all of that because I'm at the end of my sermon here, but she said that those words were to Timothy, take a little wine for yourself. And St. John, in a long sermon, unfolded everything in the depths of those words. Take a little wine for your stomach. And when you pull the whole Bible together in the piety and the life of the Orthodox Church, every word leads to the same place. How John Chrysostom, I won't go on, but said, he said a little wine, and that word little is important. He goes on to say, why did Paul not heal Timothy of his stomach problems? For the same reason that Paul wasn't healed of his thorn in the flesh. Because my power is made perfect in weakness. On and on it goes in that sermon on the statutes from St. John Chrysostom. At the end of it, he numbers 10 things that we learn from the words, take a little wine for your son. Physicians were invited into this, that nature, the good things, he doesn't always heal us miraculously, but sometimes just by the nature of good things. Water in those days could be perilous to people. Wine was important because of the alcohol content and its ability to help with disease and with sickness as well. All of that unfolded by a verse that most people would just pass over. Oh, you know, he recommended that Timothy take a little wine for his stomach. That's the depths of the words. And through Christ the King, we as Orthodox have the glory and the radiance of the ancient tradition to be able to unfold and unlock that which can make us sharers of the grace of God and true persons in Christ Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.